Shores, El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
The world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Our website is our online home, and there you can watch live streaming video of our show every night. And very soon, probably within the next 24 hours, no matter what your iOS, no matter what your mobile device, you'll be able to watch us live streaming our show as well, mobile. So the Phil Henry Show is now a fully mobile video cast, as well as, if you will, if you want to consider our video cast, is also there's an audio track on it. So for all intents and purposes, we are now audio streaming. And I think that this is a very, very important point to make to people who ask me all the time, Phil, where can I, how can I hear the show? You can hear the show here on the website. You can hear the show either by way of the podcast. You can hear the show's podcast or the previous show for free. We keep for one day. We have a stream of, I think, the first hour or two of the show, don't we, Bud?
Yeah, it's a stream, and it's streaming.
Yeah. Great.
You just said the same thing twice.
Never mind. So, yeah. Nonetheless, with a backstage pass, you have the show no matter where you are, and now you'll have the show on your mobile device, both the audio and video, live or on demand. So if you are out and about, say, at night, if you're in a bar, and let's say you're in the Pink Lady Lounge in Palm Springs, and the show that night just ain't getting it done, you know, the girl comes out.
Excuse me.
All right, I'm sorry. In any event, you can just pull out your mobile phone, and they'll say, instead of watching this topless girl, what are you doing? I'm watching Phil Henry. Oh, boy. So that'll really win you friends. But no matter where you are, make sure you have your backstage pass with you at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Now, Vernon Dozier is joining us here from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. Very, I think, very poignant and emotional moment here on television today. Steve Harvey, the stand-up comic, television producer, film producer, actor, now has his daily show. It was his, and he's also the host of Family Feud. He also has his own television show. And he had a surprise visit from some people on his birthday show today.
Sorry.
So here's Steve, that's and he's about to meet to these people.
Sorry. Okay, this is a surprise. Calling in via satellite from Orlando. Let's see who it is.
Hi, Steve. This is Rich List from Orlando, Florida, and I called you to wish you a happy birthday and ask you one question. Do you still love me, baby? I'm waiting for my answer, buddy.
Hey, man. I love you, man.
I love you too, man. Yeah. You want to say hi to your girlfriend?
Who, Becky there?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Say hi.
Hey, Becky.
Hi, Steve.
Jesus.
We love you, buddy.
These people.
And we wish you the best happy birthday.
I was,
I wish you'd turn this off.
26
Excuse
years
me, hold
old,
on,
man.
Please.
Struggling.
I beg your pardon.
Could you hold on, please?
I didn't have nothing. And these people owned the furniture store in Cleveland. They took me in and gave me my first contract with my little carpet cleaning company. When I became a comedian at 27, I didn't have money to travel. They gave me a account at their travel agency. And, man, I ran up a bill like $11,000 just trying to travel and make it. Them people right there. You know, man, they helped me out. Hey, man, I got money now, Rich.
You got money?
Oh, that's great.
Matter of fact,
that's a little bit of that. And Margaret, you heard it before, and it's a very, very, it's very poignant.
It's just lovely, and it's Steve Harvey showing us a part of his life and two people that helped him as a young comic, and he's such a success now.
And what he said later on was he's going to Fly, Rich List and his wife Becky are the two people that own this furniture store, and they had a travel agency, and he's going to fly them to his show. Can you imagine that? You're lending money to a young, struggling comic. You're lending, you know, you're giving him a hand in business, and years later, he's sending a jet for you, you know.
Well, that is the success story right there.
It really is. Let's get on the line here. Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. Vernon, I know you like Steve Harvey. I know that you've got a slightly different take on this whole rags-to-riches story that you want to tell us about.
I do, Phil, and first of all, I want to say I'm very, very grateful that you did say I'm a very big Steve Harvey fan. Living in the Los Angeles area, we had the great pleasure to listen to Steve Harvey's radio show. I don't know how many people have Steve Harvey's radio show.
Is it still on?
I've got to look and see if it is or not.
I don't know. I don't think it is. I know that other guy, the midday, Michael Baymer or something, Michael Baysden.
Okay, what about him?
I think he's off the air, too. Because he's no good, but Steve Harvey's good.
Okay, great. I'm not talking about Michael Baysden. Anyway,
hold on for a minute. I've listened to Michael Baysden. I happen to think he's very good. And let me say this about Michael Baysden. He's not going to break down and drag. See, I'm a very big believer in men's rights, but I don't take it to the extent that as men we have to have the right to show a vulnerability that only makes us or opens us up to further critique and exploitation by females. I am a part of the masculist movement. I don't know if you know what the masculist movement is. I keep it out of my classroom, as you know, Phil.
Yeah, well, the masculist, what is it? It's feminist as opposed to masculist?
No, it's not feminist. It's masculist.
No, I understand that, but it's, in other words, empowering men?
It's empowering men and making sure that men are not taken advantage of by women. And, you know, I don't want to get into it because I can tell right now that you're not down with that at all.
Well, I'm not really all that interested in it, no.
Yeah, that's why. So I don't want to be held up to ridicule.
Well, Vernon, this is Margaret. Now, you know that I'm a feminist, and I make no bones about that. But I am interested in what the masculist movement is. However, I do want to know what your take on Steve Harvey's emotional expression today was as a fan of his.
You know, I was disappointed, and let me tell you why.
Why?
Can I tell you why?
Yes, sir. When I heard you say that, it surprised me.
Right. I said I was disappointed, and I heard you say, why? Okay.
I apologize.
All right. Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, I do want to express it to you. I was disappointed, and you go, why? You heard that, right?
Yes, sir, I heard that. I'm sorry. I reacted to... late.
I want to hear, why were you disappointed in Steve Harvey?
The reason why Phil and Margaret and Bud and Robert, I don't know who else, whoever else you got there.
That's it.
Okay. The reason why is because as a masculist, I don't want to give women any opportunity to further wedge themselves into, to get a bigger space than they're entitled to on our trek toward the cheesecake. That's what I call the goal in life, in business, is to get to that cheesecake. And I don't want the women doing anything other than having an equal space as we are at the start line to take a run for that wedge of cheesecake. Now,
So you see this as a race?
I most certainly do see it as a race. And I don't mind a woman having her... Yet she can sit in the starting box, and I'm in the starting box, and we're ready to go, and we're running for that wedge, for that cake wedge. But if she is allowed to, get her butt right up in front of me, you know, she's got her rear end up in the air sticking in my face, and I'm blocked from a decent view of the cheese wedge. You understand what I'm saying, Phil?
Well, I think what you're saying is you want everyone to have an equal shot at the good things in life. You see this as a competition between men and women, and
well, yeah, I do. And here's what Steve Harvey, when he breaks down as he did, he only pushes us as men further back.
Now, Vernon, your story is an interesting story. Your mother and the way she treated you prompted your asserting your masculinity. Am I right about that?
You're right. My mother dropped me off at school every morning and kissed me full on the lips in front of all my friends, and that traumatized me to the point where I determined that I would never, ever again have anybody see me and think, "Mama," you know, this "mama boy." Have you ever heard, you know about it, don't you, Phil?
No, about what, mama's boys?
Yeah, the phenomenon of the mama boy. I call it the mama boy. I do not allow, I do not allow the possession of any child, any masculist child by a woman. And if you say mama's boy, the possessive takes shape and takes effect. I will not allow that, so I call it a mama boy. That means there is still separation between the mama, you know, if that's what that kid wants. Then he's going to become mommy's boy, you know, and...
Well, you put it in a very mocking way. Is that part of the education?
I think you have to. I think you have to. If I was with Steve Harvey today, it's, you know, I respect you, sir, and I love your show and I love your comedy, but you got up today and you exhibited, I think, a trend toward being a mama boy, you know, as opposed to...
You can't say boy.
I'm not saying boy like that.
Yeah, but still.
I'm not saying boy as in Mr. Harvey's race. I'm saying boy as in mama boy. If you could listen to what I'm saying, sir, and I'd like to just respond to Mr. Henry.
That's all right. Bud sometimes gets over-enthusiastic. All right, so Mr. Harvey disappointed you today by crying. Is that right?
Well, I think the disappointment came with the crying, yeah. But it was the kind of crying. A lot of people misunderstand, Phil. In the masculist movement, we do not... We don't have a problem with crying. We have a problem with the kind of crying. In the masculist movement, a quiet, heaving sob is what we personally approve of. Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, who is a frequent contributor on your program...
Yes, he is.
Has recently been one of our advocates in the Corona, California area, and Mr. Bozell calls it the heaving sob, as opposed to a choking sob. The heaving sob is approved by the masculists of Southern California in our national charter.
What is a heaving sob?
A heaving sob would be more... I don't do it. None of our members actually do it because I don't want to cry.
All right, well, is the heaving sob like...
You can do it, Mr. Henry. You're not of the masculists.
Mr. Henry's masculine. He's just not a masculist.
That's what I said.
Okay, hold on. Is it like this? The heaving sob is like...
Yeah, that would be it. The choking sob is what Mr. Harvey did today, and that crossed the line of what we call effective masculist crying, and he went into a full choking sob, which, I got to tell you, it will. If you are a true masculist and you hear a man do that, it will shrink, literally, the size and the... And the ability of your if I may be so bold as to say, your manhood.
What do you mean it'll shrink? Are you talking about literally?
Who is speaking?
This is Margaret Gray.
Oh, I'm sorry, Margaret. Yes, when I heard Mr. Harvey doing the choking sob, which was the... You know that?
Yeah, okay, I heard that. I don't think it sounded like that.
It sounded every bit like that. We got to take a break because I just heard somebody say take a break.
Yeah, we do have to break. We'll be right back so you can get your tape measure. You know, I know it's coming.
What's coming?
Never mind. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth. Don't blow it.
Don't give
it
away.
I'm not going to give it
the
away.
Phil Henry Show.
Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. Margaret Gray here with us as well. We're talking to Vernon about Steve Harvey, who had what I thought was a
I thought it was just very poignant. I thought it was very emotionally compelling. I identified, in other words, what I'm saying, Vernon, I identified with Mr. Harvey today when he was crying on his show because he was talking about two people that helped him out at a time in his life when he was really struggling. And the story he told about not having enough money for they let him have an account with their travel agency so he could get his stand up comedy career going. They gave him a contract for his carpet cleaning business. This was a young man, Steve Harvey, a young entrepreneur trying to get going in business. You don't see anything there to admire?
Phil, I see a lot to admire. I see an awful lot to admire. I really do. And as I said, I'm second to no one in my admiration for Steve Harvey. But he took all of that and threw it, I mean, right straight down into a gigantic trash compactor. You know, if you could compare life and many times I know my life is almost like a large garbage can, and my life experiences are nothing more than wadded up bits of if you could imagine a Burger King where there's still a little bit of burger in the wrapper. And it's been sitting under your seat, let's say in the car, and it begins to putrefy. That's my life experiences.
Well, if you're bitter about your life, what's that got to do with Steve Harvey?
I didn't say I was bitter, ma'am. I said that's just life. You know, I've taken it. What does that mean, bitter?
Well, it sounds like you're bitter. You say that life is a garbage can and your life experiences...
not all of my life experiences. I'm trying to tell you, if you've ever had a piece of wrapping from Burger King and there's a bit of the cheese and bun still stuck to the wrapper.
Yes.
God, what are you getting upset about?
We're not getting upset, Vernon.
What's this we? I'm talking to Mr. Hendry, okay?
You're talking to both of us, sir, and all I'm saying is I get what you're talking about admiring Steve Harvey, but life is not a garbage can. Life is, you know, it's a much more positive, it's a much more a positive container, if you want to talk about some sort of a receptacle.
All right, if life's a receptacle, which you just said it was, then what does that leave? Toilets and waste paper baskets, okay? So, good luck.
Well, what about life being a pitcher of... lemonade, something, I know that's very...
This is what I mean. This is what the masculinist movement is against. And
when you're against any kind of positive, we're way off point. I don't want to talk about what you're against when it comes to comparing life to receptacles, okay?
We feel in the masculinist movement that life is best compared to a stinking dumpster. That way, whatever goes in there, and if you can make something good out of it, brother, you are my God. You're not just my hero. You are my God. If you can take the unimaginable, horrific, stench-ridden stuff that sits in the noonday sun in a dumpster, all right, and you can say, that's my life experience, and guess what? I'm still sitting on a pile of cash, 25 sitting on 25 mil. Isn't that what a man said? Okay, I'm a white man, and yet I listen to Drake. And I know all about that kid. He is 25, and he is sitting on $25 million. He's some black kid from Toronto who wants everybody to think he's ghetto. And
well, can we get off of Drake, please, and start talking about Mr. Harvey?
All right, I just, you know.
You know, you know, if you want to get this into a racial thing.
It's not racial. It happens to. How do you figure that's racial?
Well, we were talking about Steve Harvey. Now we got Drake. You got a problem with Harvey. You got a problem with Drake. 25 sitting on $25 million. What, did he cry the wrong way?
Very funny.
That's a very good point. Are you now just indicting any man that has this sort of choking, sobbing way of expressing himself?
Look, you know, Phil...
But hold on for a minute. Let's get back to this thing where Steve Harvey was fine until he started doing the choking sob.
That's right.
Okay, tell me what the choking sob is.
It's what you heard Mr. Harvey do. The as I said, the heaving sob, which is... which you did very well. And I'm not crying. I want everyone to know I'm not crying. I'm approximating crying, okay? Okay, Phil, are you making that clear?
Yes, people are hearing that. You're not really crying.
Okay. So the acceptable sob, acceptable crying, which I know people think it's silly for us to say what's acceptable crying. Well, if you're on television and you see a guy sniveling with snot going into his hand in a three-piece beautiful, you know, $5,000 suit, you will suddenly, it'll be clear to you why it's important. Now,
all right, we're up against the break. Hold on. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We'll be right back. Vernon Dozier with us here as we talk about Steve Harvey and his TV show today, where he openly expressed great emotion at seeing two old friends who had helped him early on in his career. World famous Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier. We'll be right back.
And, but if he goes like, that's the most sickening kind of crying, and that's what he did. He went,
Phil Henry.
He was just getting...
Okay, back here on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier. We are also going to be joined here in a moment by Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, because we do want to get Dean's take on this.
You know, I have to tell you, Phil, if I could just jump in.
Go ahead.
I thought I was talking to you, and it's great. I didn't think I have to talk to Mr. Wheeler, because I think he's just the wrong person to bring on here. You know, I'm talking about...
Why is that?
Well, because I'm talking about Mr. Harvey, who I admire, who is every bit a man's man. Steve Harvey would have more in common with me than he would with a Dean Wheeler, and I say that with greatest respect, Mr. Wheeler. But Steve Harvey, if he was given the choice, who do you want to spend the night with? I don't mean spend the night as in sleep with me.
I know that. You don't have to make that distinction.
Yes, that's completely unnecessary.
All right. But I want it to be very, you know, maybe you haven't recognized the kind of world we live in, my friend.
I recognize the world. So if Steve Harvey had a choice between...
If he had the choice between having to spend the night with either me or Dean Wheeler, it would be me, hands down. Because with Wheeler, he would fear some kind of inappropriate, cuddling up or...
What, you know, that's really strange that you would say you don't want this to be about any kind of a gay sexual encounter. What do you mean cuddling up?
I said if you were sharing the same, if you're going to spend the night with a guy, aren't you in the same bed with him? And I'm not saying for sex. I mean it in the sense of the old 19th century boarding houses where you had to be in the bed with another guy.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, now you do, sir. And if it was me... We'd be sleeping head to toe, and I would have my back to him. I'd be facing out toward the outer part of the area of the bed or the wall.
Okay. All right. And Dean Wheeler would try to sneak a cuddle in.
He'd try to sneak. Yes. That's all I'm trying to say.
All right. Well, let's get Dean Wheeler on the line, having probably just heard that. Dean, you're a married man and a heterosexual. How do you respond?
First of all, good evening, Phil, and good evening, Margaret. And how are you doing, Vernon?
I'm doing fine.
Hello, Dean, and our very best to your wife, Emeralda.
Oh, I appreciate that very much. She's doing great. I've got my own.
I hear you've got problems of your own with that horn player.
Well, and you know something, Dean? I'll deal with that in my own way, in my own sweet way, in my own sweet time.
All right.
Now, as to whether I would try to sneak a cuddle in on Steve Harvey.
I did not mean to say that you're gay.
No, not at all. When I come on, though, that's what you say, but that's obviously what you mean. I'll let that stand on its own. I won't make an issue out of it. I want to get back to what you said about the sobbing.
Yes.
What do you mean by the accepted masculine sob as opposed to the choking sob? Could you give us an example of the choking sob?
Yes, I'd be very happy to give an example of it, but I'm not going to be a spectacle here. I'm not going to have Mr. Wheeler stand with a pointer in his hand, and Mr. Henry and Ms. Gray are in the audience, and I am the elephant man.
Oh, come on, will you? Let's just get to it. I mean, we've got far too much hurt feelings and far too many of these provisions. That's ridiculous, Vernon. Nobody is going to make... We want an example of what you're talking about.
Everyone is interested. What do you mean by this heaving sob, the choking sob?
It's the choking sob. The heaving sob is acceptable. The choking sob is what you heard this man, Mr. Harvey, do, which was... Okay. And that's what happens. Well, you do that very well. You know, let me tell you, my friend, I have made a study of it. And I'll tell you something else, Dean, not for nothing, but I bet you whenever you cry, which is probably when that horn player makes a move on your wife's you-know-what.
Oh, boy. You really want to get into it, don't you?
You know, sir, you started it.
Gentlemen, we're going to stay on point here. If it kills me, let's get off of Dean's wife, if you'll pardon the expression.
See, even Phil's getting in on it. And,
well, both of you gentlemen...
Hold on, Dean. I did not mean to imply anything. I'd like us to stay on point. The heaving sob, okay? Let's stop, if you don't mind, Vernon, talking about how Dean cries or anything having to do with him. Dean, what is your comment on that?
Well, my comment is that in order... If you say that a man, because he cries with a choking sob, which is the... or however you do it.
You know, the choking sob is what you heard Mr. Harvey do. And it was this. Like that. And let me tell you, as a masculist, I've studied this. And as a masculist, I can tell you that Harvey, when he cries like that, he has moved beyond our ability to help him. He has moved well beyond our ability to retrieve and to rehabilitate him in any meaningful way. And he is off into that area, as I said to Phil, and I said to Margaret, into that mama, you know.
Well, you've always had a problem with any man that has an attachment to his mother.
Yes, I do.
And that is because of the fact that your own mother kissed you full on the mouth. I don't know if you ever indicated it was their tongue.
You know, let's grow up here, okay?
What does that mean?
Well, I don't think I'm being immature. He said that his mother kissed him on the lips. Was she giving you a romantic...
Yeah, she slipped her tongue in.
Oh, God.
Oh, that is vile. I don't know why she wasn't prosecuted.
Because I wasn't about to... I wasn't about to prosecute my own mother. All right? But I'll tell you this. I spent every day of my life, from that day forward, making sure that no one, and I mean no one, mistook me for some kind of a
mommy
boy, okay?
I understand that, and that also extends to your wife driving over your hand.
That is correct.
All right, people need to know, every day of your life you're doing something to prove how bad you are, right?
Hold on, Phil. I didn't say bad, okay?
Well, didn't you go into, and here is the, let's get right down to it. Didn't you go into a bar in a black neighborhood, insult the patrons in there for the express purpose of having yourself beat up as bad as you could possibly be beat up and not killed?
That was my intent.
Oh, my God.
Well, here's something. Maybe you want to try it, Dean. I went into that bar. I had a cigarette. I needed a light, and I said to any of you blankety-blanks, and I used a racial epithet, have a light. And they beat on me for a good hour and a half, 2 hours, and I laughed all the way through it. I laughed through broken teeth. I laughed with my mouth full of blood. I laughed with my face split open. I laughed when they pitched me out into the alley. And I laughed as I lay there for the next 13 to 14 hours before anybody called an ambulance. Just laying there, just when I could. And
well, what did that? I'd like to know. Were you sobbing with a choking sob, or were you sobbing with a heaving sob?
You know, guess what, Dean? I wasn't sobbing. I was laughing. Now,
what did your laughter sound like?
Well, I can tell you, it wasn't robust. I wasn't laying there with a busted up face, going ah ha 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 ha. It was more just every time a guy came by and kicked me, I went ha ha ha. Like that.
You know what? You need a psychiatrist. Any guy that puts himself through that and laughs through it needs a psychiatrist.
Oh, okay, but I don't get credit. I don't get credit for being, in other words, for surviving having my mother French kissed. God, it is so...
So can we get back to the planet Earth, Phil, as Woody Allen once said famously in Annie Hall? Because
what makes you think we're not on the planet Earth?
Because I think what you're describing, Dean, is so mentally disturbed.
Well, I got to agree, Dean. I think that there is a masochism there.
Like, you guys don't understand. That's the baddest ass thing a guy can, that's the baddest ass thing a white man can do. That's the baddest ass thing a white man can do. Go into the, absolutely, the center of a black neighborhood, into a bar.
It's insane. It's suicidal. It is, you know, it's provoking those individuals. It's provoking them into a criminal act. It's,
Oh, okay, so am I guilty of a hate crime because I got my ass kicked thoroughly? Is that it?
I think a case could be made, yes. I think the case could be made that the worse you got beat, the more time you should get for the hate crime.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
But think about it. I mean, if he got his ass beat really bad, that must have meant he must have used some pretty... He must have used the N-word not only multiple times, but loudly and using a lot of different vowels.
Well, as a matter of fact, I did. Now,
okay, guys, I don't understand, and I want to cease the conversation here. It's ridiculous.
Right.
What are you talking about? He must have used the N-word multiple times, different vowels, this and that. All I wanted to know about was this idea that the heaving sob of Steve Harvey meant that he was some kind of a mama's boy. And you, Dean, basically have said that in a lot of different ways. Speaking of different ways of saying things, the way you say mama...
I use the term mama in the accepted masculist way, all right?
Well, what way is that?
If for instance, I'd say, Dean Wheeler, you are dangerously close to becoming a...
mama.
Boy. Wow. That, you do have mental problems. See, if a man speaks truth, he has mental problems. But if a man just goes along with the program, he's fine. So if I say Steve Harvey was just great today, and his weeping and carrying on and choking back the sobs and sniveling and the snot that was dripping from his nose, getting on his fingers, and...
I don't know, Phil, did you see any of that? Because I didn't.
No, I did not.
Right, and so you guys are sane, and you guys are cool, but because I bring it up... God damn both of you.
Well, I'm still here.
Well, thanks a lot, Dean, but I'm going to take a break, and thank you very much.
Well, can I co-host?
No, you can't co-host. Get out of here. All right, so let's take a break. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you for your input, gentlemen. And Steve Harvey, good for you, sir, for acknowledging, however emotionally, your past and the people that helped you. The world-famous Phil Henry Show coming up. A plus-size model has the world's largest hips. Her husband loves it. She thinks it's fantastic. Her ass is literally too wide to get through a door. You'll hear about it in a moment. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Homepage of the Phil Henry website, and you'll see a picture there that I took. I actually, as I mentioned, I was in San Francisco briefly over the weekend, and you'll see on the homepage, actually there's a pretty ridiculous picture there.
Yeah, what is this? You showed up.
What, you said you showed up for a voice session today?
Yeah, there's a picture of me like a dumbass. I went all the way over to Bang Zoom Entertainment, which is a recording studio in North Hollywood, to record my parts for a forthcoming Adult Swim cartoon show called Rick and Morty. Very excited. Produced by Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon. And it's going to have some... I think it's going to be just a very funny show. And so, I'm very happy to be a part of it. But anyway, I knew that we had our record session. The schedule had been emailed to all of us. And dumbass Phil here, I knew that my record date was a certain date. It was January 30th. And I show up today. So as the result of that, I missed having the opportunity. We've got the Bobby Dooley podcast that we want to get done, and we had a good opportunity today to record a couple of people for the Bobby Dooley podcast. So the whole day was a mess, man. It just, you know.
Well, what happened to you up there in San Francisco that you just lost your mind?
Yeah, you all come back. You said you're all like all suicidal and stuff.
I wasn't suicidal. what happens every time I go away or I go off with people, I get off of my regular, you know, I've been on this diet for so long, you know, that my body is a certain way. I mean, literally, you know, your biochemistry kind of changes. And then I go off and I party and I'm drinking and I'm eating all kinds of stuff. And man, I get whacked out and I lose track of time and I don't know, you know, what's going on. And, you know, and it's taken me like 2 days to, it isn't so much the booze. I think it's just the food.
What did you eat in San Francisco?
Well, I had a lot of, besides the, you know, like I had a steak dinner, first steak dinner I've had in over a year. I had at a place called, John's Grill off of Market Street. It's an old, restaurant that, Dashiell Hammett, who wrote The Maltese Falcon. If you go in there, you see on the menu, it says, this is where The Maltese Falcon...
Where The Maltese Falcon was made?
Not where it was made. Where the Dashiell Hammett was inspired, I think, might have written some of it there.
What, like he had a steak dinner and wrote the book?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, what did he do? He said Dashiell Hammett was at this grill and did what? Wash dishes?
No, Margaret. He sat down. He had drinks. He probably scribbled in his notebook. I don't have the whole story. But nonetheless, go up there to John's Grill and read the menu. It tells you. I had a porterhouse steak. Oh, baby, was it good.
Man, that sounded pretty good to me. I would bite in one of them.
Oh, yeah. Baked potato. You know, the whole deal. Had a few drinks. Went off of my tequila regimen, as I said on our Facebook page. As a matter of fact, I even had a couple of shots of Bushmills. So what do you think of that?
Irish whiskey. Well, look at you.
What are you doing, Mr. I thought all you had was tequila.
I did. All I ever drank is tequila, but the atmosphere was right. You know, it was a beautiful Saturday night, and the city was going crazy. They were getting ready for the 49er game the next day. You know, the sports bars were getting packed in. Everybody was partying, and it was a beautiful night in the city, and I don't know, man. I just, you know, and the restaurant was doing a bubbling business. I just felt like having myself a couple of shots of good old Irish whiskey. I had a beer. But it isn't that so much as it is the sugar from desserts, you know. And you know me. I'm not a pie guy. I'm not into...
You're not into Miracle Pie?
I watch it, okay?
The filth in front of me.
I'm sorry.
Would you watch it? Miracle Pie. Shut up, bud.
Sorry.
I'm not into pie or cake, stuff like that. I don't care. The stuff that I got a weakness for is candy, like I told you, chocolate candy. And if I eat too much of that, I get like crazy, you know. And that's kind of what, I started just pigging out on that stuff. And it's, you know, it's just, it's no damn good, but, be that as it may, it was a great, great time in a great city. And congratulations to the 49ers. I'm really not following this thing at all.
Yeah. I'm probably going to root for the Baltimore Ravens myself.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, you guys are Raven fans, huh?
Yeah. I'm not going to root for no 49ers, man. I'm a LA Raider fan. I'm an L.A. Ram. Well, I was an L.A. Ram fan. How could you root for the 49ers?
Because they're, I don't know. I don't know what it is. And you make a very good point. Being an old school L.A. Ram fan, and you know, that's the team that I grew up with, and they're not here anymore.
Well, there's no football team in L.A., so how could you possibly not like, why wouldn't he want the 49ers? They're closer to L.A. than the Baltimore, whatever they're called.
The Ravens.
Why are they called the Ravens?
Because of Edgar Allan Poe.
Because of Edgar Allan. Do you know that Edgar Allan Poe wrote The Raven in Lowell, Massachusetts, not Baltimore?
What? That's not true.
It is absolutely true that Edgar Allan Poe wrote The Raven in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Are you trying to tell me that the team's supposed to move to Lowell, Massachusetts?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he didn't write The Raven in Baltimore.
Well, the point is that Baltimore was Edgar Allan Poe's town. And that was his city, and that's where he's buried, and that was where he was born.
Is he the guy that shot Lincoln?
Edgar Allan Poe shot Lincoln? No, John Wilkes Booth.
No, they look like the same guy, though.
They don't look like the same guy. Why, because they both have mustaches?
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of guys that have mustaches.
No, it's not the same guy. Edgar Allan Poe only hurt himself ultimately in life. He was a drinker. He was a drug addict, but he was a great writer. And he is a son of the city of Baltimore. And that's why they call their team the Ravens. It being written in Lowell, Massachusetts, I had no idea. Are you sure about that?
I'm absolutely sure. And your friend Susan told you that.
Yes, she did. As a matter of fact, you're right. You're right. Right. I came back and Susan said that that was the case. I didn't know that. Edgar Allan Poe wrote The Raven in Lowell, Massachusetts. Nonetheless, it's identified with Poe. But speaking of that, I saw, well, I already gave you the review of Lincoln, didn't I?
Yes, you gave us the review of Lincoln. We're all done with Lincoln. Lincoln. My God, you'd think that Lincoln...
What, was a great president?
Well, I know he was a great president, but it's all Lincoln. Why don't we all just start wearing stovepipe?
You know, for once, just for once, out of a whole year, out of a 10-year stretch, we talk a little bit about American history. Is that so terrible? We're not talking about Lindsay Lohan this week. We're not talking about this guy, Shia LaBeouf, dropping acid. We're not talking about, you know, we're talking a little history. What's wrong with that? We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Is that guy named Shia LaBeouf?
However you pronounce it. That's how I'm pronouncing it.
Phil Henry.